On the show today, we have Ellie Jean Craig's very own Amy Downs talking about parallels between the coronavirus crisis and the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, which she lived through. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Allegiant Credit Union's very own Amy Downs on the program. Amy, how are you doing considering?
Well, considering it is a very interesting time right now. That is for sure.
That is understatement for sure. And you were telling me before the recording, this is your first day in the home office. Congratulations.
My first day in the home office. Now, I did send everyone home that could work from home a week ago.
Okay.
Everybody home and closed lobbies, and we're doing everything to serve our members through drive-through and through call center.
Okay.
But originally our executive team felt like, well, maybe we need to have at least a face of management on staff. And mm-hmm. So I said, well, if somebody's got to be there, I will. And then as the days went by, I'm like, why am I here? Like, why do we need to add more exposure? And really, they're good. I don't physically have to be there mm-hmm. unless they just need my strength to lift up something heavy. I don't know.
There you go.
I came home.
Desk over here. Can we carry it to the other side of the room, please?
Right. Exactly.
So. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause that was going to be actually, cause we're going to talk about your experiences dealing with crises and all this. Mm-hmm. And you've been through a couple, let's put it that. But first I wanted to ask you, like, what are you guys doing at your credit union that's really kind of, I don't know, it's just trying to maintain, get through this situation that we're in right now. What are you guys doing that could maybe help other or spur ideas for other folks out there?
Right. So I think the first thing is your mindset. So this is not a time to say, let's just hunker down and survive. Let's just get through it. I think this is a time to say, we're going to advance. And how are we going to advance and look for the opportunities to set yourself apart?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're doing, which I know a lot of places are, is really leaning into that virtual culture and environment and how we can operate and serve our members from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all have to really figure out how to do really quickly.
Yeah, so. Really quickly, for sure. Are you guys having any, I don't want to say any issues, but are you guys having like with remote workers and stuff? Like, I've heard there's been some issues with some credit unions out there, like, oh, how do we get a secure remote desktop or mm-hmm. virtual networks and all that type of stuff? Or it sounds like you guys might have that down or?
Yeah. Okay, so thankfully, very, very thankfully, we started having our call center. Some of our call center employees work from home years ago.
Oh, good.
So now not a lot. We're a small credit union. I mean, we only have about 80 employees. So we're talking just a handful of people have been working from home,
mm-hmm.
but enough so that we understood how to do it. And we had already shed that old school mentality that if I can't see you sitting there and watch over you, I don't know that you're working.
Right.
So we have been shifting from being time clock watchers to results driven. What are your results and that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So we had, I think, about 8 people working from home full time when all of this started. So then it was just replicating, okay, we've already done it for these 8 people. Now we need to do it for everybody else.
Right. So you kind of had a template already set mm-hmm. and ready to
yes.
go. Good for you guys. Good for you guys.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are still in fully operation mode, and I'm sure your members are thrilled about that as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's all full speed ahead for you guys.
Yeah.
Thankfully indeed. I want to talk about, because we emailed back and forth about, I mean, you've actually been on the show before mm-hmm. talking about the Oklahoma City bombing back in 1995, because you have personal experience
right
through that. So I wanted to kind of talk about that real quick and see if there's any similarities, any parallels with what's going on now, because obviously, you know, you went through the bombing scare back then. And then we had, like, you know, we had obviously the Great Recession, we had 9/11, mm-hmm. all those things since then as well. So
right.
we've been through a number of situations like this where we're just pulling our hair out. But so give folks a quick recollection of,
sure.
of that day back in 1995, the Oklahoma sure. City bombing.
So our credit union was in the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. We were on the 3rd floor, front and center of that building. And so at 9:01, we were a credit union that served the federal employees in that building. And we had 33 employees. And that was our field of membership. That's what we did.
Yeah.
So 9:02 happens. 168 people were killed. and 18 of our 33 employees were killed. Gosh. And 5 of us were seriously injured. So we literally in 1 minute went to no office building. Our model, serving the people in a building, is gone. Mm-hmm. Our employees are gone. And we had to figure out very, very quickly how to adapt and how to serve our members in that situation. Mm-hmm. Now, our industry, people helping people in credit union industry, that's the reason we're here today.
Yeah, no doubt.
So credit unions from all over came to help us. And that is the reason that we were able to open up 48 hours later to serve our members.
That's amazing. I mean, I remember vividly seeing pictures, like how did even one person survive that, you know, but you guys, oh my gosh.
There, it's funny you asked though about the similarities. I myself am a survivor. I was the third from the last person that they got out alive. And I was basically buried alive for 6.5 hours. I started receiving messages about 2 days ago from some of our credit union employees who also survived that now have moved out of state or other places and messaging me saying, how are you holding up? And the 2 or 3 people we have left at our credit union that went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. There is a very similar feel of the scariness, the uncertainty, that is triggering sort of the PTSD response from those of us who went through April 19th. Mm-hmm. So that there is a similarity just from the emotional feelings of what we're going through.
Right.
Then of course there is the, you know, very, for us, very real similarity of suddenly we don't have office building. You know, we do, we have drive-through operating it, but in a way we don't because we're not accessing the building.
Right.
Like we did in the past.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's definitely some stuff there that seems very similar.
Yeah. So any lessons learned from there? And then the second part of that question is how are you applying those now to this situation?
Okay. So that's very good question. A lot of lessons learned. In fact, so many lessons, I actually wrote a book, seriously. But the number one thing is to over-communicate. You just have to communicate. And I've heard stories about some credit unions, you know, who are communicating maybe only by email and maybe once a day. And I just would urge leaders to think differently about how they're communicating. Like right now, you and I are doing this through Zoom. Right. I can see your face. You can see my face. It makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
There is a big difference between that communication and me sending an email out. And so what we're doing is I did all staff meeting by Zoom so people could use their cell phone if they don't have a computer. Right. They, you know, everyone can log in and we can see each other. And that actually has been a unique team building opportunity too, because we ask people, show us your pets, you know, show us your, you know, some of people have babies. We want to see your babies. I mean, we want to see those things right now. You know, we need that. Mm-hmm. And so so I communicate by email every day. I also communicate by video. We're actually having a virtual happy hour today at 5 o'clock. So I'll see everybody again and we'll end our week together just touching base because we're not there physically anymore, right? So we've got to have that connection, and employees need to know leadership is in charge, even if you don't know the answers. Right, and we're very frank about that to say we may not know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
The executive team, we meet at least daily, if not more. And we are in constant communication, navigating everything. So just really just over communicate more than you think you need to. And don't rely on email communication. Let them see you. Let them hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know you care. You know, that was huge for me as an employee after the bombing. To have that constant communication. And at that point, all of our supervisors had been killed. So our CEO survived and our board members had survived. So the board, the CEO, they were constantly letting us know that they cared, you know, letting us know we're doing everything we can to make sure your pay is not going to be interrupted. Let's be real. That's what you're really worried about, right? Do I have a paycheck? Like, I can't come to the office. Are they going to pay me?
Right.
Like, what's going to happen? Do I have a job? Reassure the things you can reassure them. those things, you know?
Yeah, that's what we need right now for sure. Because of all right. the other uncertainty out there, right. you need the other assuredness.
Exactly. So we put in things like letting people go into the negative on their sick leave. We'll figure it out as we go along. And we've told them the things that, look, we're figuring it out as we go along, but you're our number one priority, you know? And of course, I think the message was loud and clear when we were one of the first financial institutions to say, you know what, we're closing the, we want to protect you. We're closing the lobbies. We're sending everybody home. Mm-hmm. We're giving you every tool that we have to protect yourself. And I think that spoke loud and clear too of where our heart was in their protection.
Well, I'm thinking about, as you're talking about the communication and even over communicating and doing the Zoom and stuff, all that type of stuff, it not only keeps you in communication, obviously, but the bond that you guys build through this is going to be really, really strong. And that's what we need right now as well, because this is a stressful time. And so you need that bond to be there for, you got to have each other's back, so to speak.
That's exactly right. And that is one thing. So after the bombing happened, which, to be very clear, I don't care what good has transpired, you know, as a result of how you respond to horrible things. It's not something you would ever want to have happen, right? But it's happened. So what are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. This thing that's going on right now is it's happened. So how can we respond in a way that makes something good out of this? Like, how can you use this as an opportunity to identify inefficiencies in your model? How can you figure out how to serve your members better through it? Mm-hmm. So like for us, we came out of the bombing and we were forced into the community. So community charter, name change, structure change. We're 4 times larger than we were then. So there were a lot of things that were very, very good for our model. Again, you wouldn't have wanted all that stuff to happen, but it did. Mm-hmm. And so how you respond and navigate through that will determine, after you get through your disaster, are you stronger or are you going to fold? Are you now on a way to a death because you didn't pivot?
Well, and it seems like each crisis that we go through, you kind of build that extra layer of knowledge and experience for the next one, because there is going to be a next one. So as you well know, I mean, we've been through quite a few of these for right now. I mean, obviously this one's a bit different from some of others. And I don't think
I saw the meme, you know, I don't want to brag, but I've been through 5, you know, near death experience. And I was like, yeah, I think I could say 6 actually, but yeah, you know, we've been through it and we'll go through more. And so we just have to keep learning, you know, how to navigate.
So what is your message to credit unions out there? I mean, obviously you kind of alluded to it in your last response, obviously the over-communication and letting your employees know that you are there for them and keep that bond going. Any other kind of message to credit unions out there, or even, and to the members as well?
Mm-hmm, right.
Anything else you can add to that?
People helping people is so simple, but it's what we're about.
Yeah.
The world needs that right now. The world needs that right now. They need us helping each other, whether that is you as the CEO doing something silly, like having a virtual happy hour with all your employees.
I think it's awesome.
You know, whether that is, you know, whatever that is that you can provide, that little bit of maybe levity or something, do it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's like, one of the things that we're doing is we obtained a list of our members who are elderly, who live close to one of our branches, and we're calling those elderly members to ask if they're okay. Do they need anything? Oh. Now, not that we can go necessarily do something for them, but right. we can give them information. Right. We can tell them what grocery stores we know are delivering. Mm-hmm. We can tell them, you know, we can, there's a lot we can do. And so far those members, they just really like having somebody calling and checking on them. Mm-hmm. So let's figure out how we can shine in the middle of this storm to our community and to our employees.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Oh, Amy, I'm so glad I talked to you. I'm so glad we talked today, because, I mean, obviously you have a wealth of experience. Not that you're bragging, but...
Yeah, I know. It's not something you really ever really wanted to put on your resume. But again, you can't control what happens to you, only how you choose to respond.
Yeah.
And because I have been through these things in my personal life and my professional life, I use that to help other people now.
Indeed. So. Indeed. Well, cool stuff, Amy. Anything else you want to add to wrap up here? Because I know you got a, you have a full plate on your hands, I'm sure. Yes. So, and you have something on your desk there that
I do. I was going to do this, and then I realized it would be backwards. The print would be backwards, but I was going to be like, I have a book, but it's backwards.
Tell me about the book, because people are having, we're going to have a little bit of extra time on their hands now.
Right.
So you just published this book, which I'm like, I can't wait to get my hands on as well.
I did. And so it is a story of transformation. It's a story not only about myself, because I was a teller who had dropped out of college because I couldn't pass a math class, like a remedial math class. That's in college. Amazing. I failed it twice. And I weighed 355 pounds. And so being buried alive for 6.5 hours was quite the wake-up call for me. And so over the past 25 years, I've gone from a teller who couldn't pass a math class to a CEO of an organization with a master's degree in business administration. And then from 355 pounds to completing an Ironman triathlon. Wow. So it's a story of transformation, but not just about myself, about the credit union and how our credit union transformed and how our city transformed. Mm-hmm. So.
Which is kind of what we're going through right now. We're transforming as we speak right now.
Right. So it's called Hope is a Verb.
Okay, hold up the book.
Takes action. Yeah. Hope is a verb. It takes action. And the action is with you. You have to take that action.
Right on. All right. Well, I will put in the show notes where folks can get to that book, because I'm going to grab it as well. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, Amy. Always a pleasure talking to you. You're so inspirational. So I've been like waiting for this one. This is a great Friday call for me. So I'm really, really honored to talk to you about all this type of stuff. So good stuff. Keep up the good work, and let's check in down the line. All right. See how you're doing. All right. Thanks again, Amy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.